Hallelujah. Anybody here unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Glory to God. This has to be the hour where you and I speak up. This has to be the hour where you and I bear witness of a good God. This is not the time to draw back. This is the time for you and I to be a light in dark places. This is the time for you and I to be a witness of Jesus, to speak up, to talk about him, to talk about good news. If you believe it's good news, then that means you got to tell somebody. There's enough bad news going on. Every morning we wake up to more bad news. But for you and I who know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have to tell somebody about it. Now, this is the week. Good Friday is almost here. And then it'll be Easter Sunday. But we shouldn't have to wait till Good Friday to talk about good news. We shouldn't have to wait till Easter comes around to get excited about our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Good news should be stirred up in your heart all the time. If you know the good news, it should bring joy to your soul. A joy that's uncontainable, a joy that lifts your spirit, a joy that's undeniable, a joy that causes you and stirs your heart in the power of the Holy Spirit to tell somebody about it. I was walking down the street one time and I had just such a stir in my heart that it didn't matter who was walking alongside of me. And it happened to be a very tall teenager who apparently was running late for school. And we just happened to be walking across the street at the same time. And I just turned to him and told him, man, God loves you. His reaction wasn't as exciting as mine. He said, huh? What? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, my name's David. And I just felt it on my heart to just tell you God loves you. He said, oh, for real? I said, yeah. And then the Holy Spirit stirred my heart to just ask him, how can you pray for him, David? And I said, how can I pray for you? He stopped in the middle of the street and looked at me and said, you're my man. This is what he said. I ain't never have any grown man ask me before, how can I pray for you? We turned. We kept walking a little bit. I said, well, I'm glad I was able to have this wonderful opportunity to be the first one to ask you, how can I pray for you? But the question still stands. How can I pray for you? And with tears in his eyes, he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm late because my mother has been real sick and I'm the only one home taking care of her. I said, well, I won't keep you long, but I'm gonna pray for you right now. And I stretched out my hand. I took his hand. I said, and I looked him in the eyes. On the streets, you keep your eyes open when you pray. Just a little practical note before you head out and start praying for people. And I just looked at him in the eyes and I said, brother, I just pray right now that God would strengthen you and would keep you. I also pray that Jesus would reveal his love for you, that you would know that he is a Savior and he's able not only just to touch your life, but to heal your mother. So I pray, God, for a healing touch now in the name of Jesus. I love it when we're able to walk in the authority of God, knowing that we have the upper hand, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And in that moment, he didn't know what to say, because he doesn't know how to say amen after a prayer. He wasn't expecting that. He just went, man, I said, it's all right, brother. I said, you'll go ahead and go to school. I said, but God's with you. I believe that in faith, and he's gonna touch your mother. I never saw that kid again, but that's okay, because I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to do the rest. I want you to know that in Scripture, there is this incredible prayer that Jesus prays for you and I, that we would continue to be a witness of his glory and his power. And I want to read this chapter, and I want you to read it with me. And I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that calls us to be a witness, that calls us to live our lives for the glory of Christ Jesus, that calls us to go forward knowing that he's going to keep you safe. And our God is a mighty refuge. And so I want to believe tonight that the spirit of fear would be broken. This is our time in our prayer meeting where it's just, we reflect and we talk about faith and prayer. And I just feel it's fitting this week to read the high priestly prayer of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. I want you to go to John chapter 17. And we're going to encourage one another tonight with the prayer that Jesus prayed unto his Father. There's no greater prayer than the prayer that Jesus prays with his heavenly Father. And he prays for you and I tonight. This is a prayer for you tonight from Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 17, if you have it, say amen. Amen. You ready to read this? Can I get an amen? Amen. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh. This is important. The Father in heaven gave his Son, Jesus, authority over all flesh. There's no question about it. God has all authority and power. You need to be able to settle that in your heart. The Jesus that we serve, the one who you put your faith in, he has all authority to lead you, to keep you, to open doors for you, to provide the breakthrough that you need, to bring forth provision in your home, to save your children, to save your mom and dad, to give you a destiny and a purpose here on this earth. He has the authority. His authority far outweighs your boss. His authority far outweighs the professor that has told you you'll never amount to nothing. His authority far outweighs the father that rejected you and left you with words that have left you less than. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. It's been given to you. And Jesus says this, to give eternal life, this is what he does with his authority. To give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. So Jesus has this moment where he goes, this is what eternal life is. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Meaning this, the experience of eternal life is so much more than when we get to heaven. You can experience eternal life right now. Eternal life is knowing who Jesus Christ is. That's where we get the joy, and the joy of the Lord being our strength. Because we don't have to hang our head down going, oh my goodness, if I could just get through this life here on earth and so I can maybe one day get to heaven. No, you should be celebrating eternal life now. And the only way to celebrate eternal life now is to know Jesus Christ as the one who has all authority. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And you have got to put your trust in him and believe that God is going to order your steps. And every step that you take, you can do it with a smile on your face. Because once you know God and you know who Jesus Christ is, there is eternal life that you are living out each and every day. Are you with me? Can I get an amen? He says this, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. See, only Jesus can talk about what he's going to do in present and past tense. Only Jesus can speak about what's going to happen, but speak it in obedience, knowing that I haven't even gotten to the cross, but I can declare it as finished work now. He's saying to his Father, I have walked in obedience. I am committed to saving your people. I am committed to loving them. I am committed to keeping them. Jesus is the only one that can talk, boast, and brag about what the ending looks like, because he has all authority. He says, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Now, that's almost beyond my human comprehension to fully grasp this point in the prayer. Look back at that. He says in verse 5, you with me? Say amen. Amen. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence. I don't fully understand what God's own presence is. It's beyond our universe. I'll tell you that. Glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Before we created man. Before we created the earth. There was another glory that we don't even fully understand. And Jesus speaks about this glory, anticipating what's going to happen in the end. He goes on to say, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. Does anybody believe that in here? For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I love this. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. It's a clear distinction that, yes, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But in this moment in his prayer, he makes it very clear unto his Father, I'm praying for my disciples. I'm praying for those who are committed to me. I'm praying for those who are believing in faith for a breakthrough. I'm praying for them, oh God, he says. I'm praying that you keep them. I'm praying that they would know who we are as one. It's a powerful moment in scripture. It is a specific, it's a supernatural specific moment coming from the voice of our Savior Jesus that is simply saying to you and I today, I've got you on my mind. I'm thinking about you. I love you. I'm going to keep you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Father gave you to me. You belong to me. You're in the palm of my hand. I went to the cross to die for you. I will not fail you. Glory to God, glory to God. Verse 10, you with me? Say amen. He says this in his prayer, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Which means God is going to show off his glory in your life. See, this is his prayer unto his Father. He's saying this. There's no doubts in the prayer that Jesus prays. There's no hesitation. There's no ifs. There's no buts. There's no maybes. He just simply says with this absolute authority, I am going to be glorified in the lives of those who I am praying for right now. They are going to experience my power, my peace, and my presence. They're going to live an extraordinary life. They're going to experience my supernatural power. They're going to have the victory in this city. They're going to experience miracles in their lives. I am going to do it because I get the glory. I get the glory. No mistake in what I want to do with their lives. I've got a purpose and a plan for them. I've got a destiny for them. And as they continue to trust me, and as they continue to believe in faith, as they continue to pursue my will and my heart, I will be glorified in their lives, and they will be a living testimony of my glory. He says this in verse 10. In verse 11, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Meaning this, it's like, I'm going to the cross. I love this conversation. It's a reflection of the glory before the world was created. Within that glory, before the world was created, I believe they had conversation, knowing what the plan was from the very beginning. It is overwhelming sometimes for me to process this amazing love that causes us to look at scripture from the beginning. In the beginning was God. And they could have settled just with that. But out of love, you and I were created. And an all-knowing God, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, an omniscient God in his glory has conversation preparing to rescue us from our rebellion. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Verse 12. I gotta move along. While I was with them, I kept them in your name. If I'm not careful, I'm gonna just preach on that for the next 15 minutes, but I'm not gonna do that. Listen, God's keeping power is in his name. If you're going to survive, you're going to have to call on the name of Jesus. You ready for this? If you're going to thrive, you better call on the name of Jesus. If you're going to overcome every attack of the enemy, you have to call on the name of Jesus. He's expressing to his father that my 3 years of ministry has been a commitment for them to understand the power of my name. That was his commitment for 3 years, that his disciples would know, if you call on the name of Jesus, change is going to happen. Something supernatural is going to happen. There's going to be a breakthrough. You're going to experience a miracle. He goes on to say, let me say this again. I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. And not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. That being Judas, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I love this. It's actually a prayer that he keeps in the Garden of Gethsemane when they come to arrest him. And I don't know. It's an amazing moment when the Pharisees and the Sadducees come into the garden to arrest Jesus, and the Roman soldiers come and a bunch of people come with like swords and clubs and lights and lanterns. And Jesus goes, who is it that you seek? He says, who is it that you seek? It's in John. It's in the book of John. He says, who is it that you seek? As they were led by the one whose calling was destruction. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I'm still baffled by how they maybe couldn't make him out. Maybe there was still a lot of people that hadn't met him, but within a matter of seconds, they would find out exactly who he was. He said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says, just like this, I am he. Here's the cool part. The moment Jesus said, I am he, they fell on the ground. The Bible says that when he said, I am he, they stumbled back and fell on the ground. Can you picture it? And if we look at scripture, scripture says that it was a great crowd. So you have to imagine hundreds of people with lanterns and swords and clubs just stumbling and falling to the ground. And if you look at scripture, he asked them one more time as they're trying to gather themselves. So you have to picture this moment in his authority, in his power. He wanted to make it very clear that what is happening is in his control. So he goes, while they're all hundreds are trying to get up off the ground, he says, I'm going to ask you again. Who are you looking for? And folks had the nerve to say it again. As if not experiencing the power of Jesus was enough. But there's a lot of hardened hearts out there that although they experience the actual power of God, they would choose to deny it for themselves. They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And then he went on to say, do what you must. I'm paraphrasing, but then he went on to say, but leave my boys alone. Leave my disciples alone. Why? Because he had prayed a prayer of protection so that scripture would be fulfilled. Scripture would be fulfilled in us. He had to say that in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came. He had to make it clear, come get me, but leave them alone. Because they're on mission. Come get me. You can do what you want with me because I'm in control. But you can't touch them because they belong to me. They belong to me. My Father gave them to me. I prayed this very day that my Father would keep them. And what I say in my word stands. It's my authority that's being flexed right now. You think you're in control, but I'm in control. Leave my people alone. They're walking with me. I'm going to keep them. They're putting their trust in my word. I've got a plan for them. And so he goes on to say in this incredible prayer, but now, verse 13, can I get an amen? Amen. I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let me tell you, the sanctifying work of the Lord is by the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to you, that dwells inside of you, that draws you back unto this word, that causes you to want this word, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a constant work of the Holy Spirit. No, you can't do it in your own strength, but God wants to do something in your mind. He wants to do something in your heart. He wants to fill your soul so that it's constantly an overflow from this word, this truth that you've been given. And I love this in verse 20. I do not ask for these only. He's talking about the 11 disciples. I do not ask for these only, but also for those disciples at Times Square Church. But also for those disciples that are watching online. But also for those who have written in their prayer request. But also for those who will believe in me through their word that they'll hold true to, their word that they held up on their phone. their word that they're committed to studying, to knowing God, to knowing his truths. He says this, their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the word may world may believe that you have sent me. The glory, in verse 22, are you with me? Say amen. Amen. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Listen to me. We've been invited to be co-heirs with Christ. He prayed it, that we would be in him as he is with the Father. He prayed it, that we would live a life experiencing the glory of Jesus Christ. He prayed it, that you and I would walk together in unity, that you and I would stand hand in hand, arm in arm. He prayed this. He goes on to say in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, oh my goodness, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Remember that glory we were talking about earlier that was before the world began? He prays that you and I as his disciples would experience that glory before the world began. He prays this prayer saying, God, they are going to pass through this one day. And God, they are going to overcome. And God, they are going to give you the glory when you see them through. God, they're going to have the strength and the power. And God, we're taking them home one day. And they're going to experience that glory that only you and I know. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these, I'll add my disciples, my sons and daughters, and these, they know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them.